Who can know God's counsel, or who can conceive what the Lord intends? Thus begins today's first reading from the Book of Wisdom. Intriguing words. Who can know what God is thinking, or what His intentions are? Nowadays, we hear something like this almost every day. We especially hear it from people who reject the moral teachings that Christianity and Judaism has traditionally taught for 3,000 years. How do you know what's right or wrong? Are you God? We hear people say this all the time. That seems to be what the Book of Wisdom is saying. Who can know God's counsel? Who can conceive what the Lord intends? But is that really what he's saying? Because the reading then goes on to say, whoever knew your counsel except you had given them wisdom and sent your Holy Spirit from on high. Except. Think of this. This reading is from the Book of Wisdom. And it is only a short example of how God did in fact reveal His wisdom, His counsel, and tell us what He intends in the Old Testament, the Word of God Himself. And then there's the Gospels and the rest of the New Testament, which reveal how Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. The wisdom of God made flesh, and who is completely one with the Holy Spirit. Jesus reveals perfectly the counsel of God and God's intention. And after sharing all that with His church, He promised to send the Holy Spirit, who would fill the disciples with the gift of God's wisdom. And that promise was fulfilled at the first Pentecost. Jesus also promised that wisdom and the same Holy Spirit in a special way to His 12 apostles, as He promised them, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance that which I have taught you. So that He could promise St. Peter and his successors, the Pope, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And so we have sacred scripture and sacred tradition, the doctrines of Christ, God the Son, handed down to us by His apostles and their successors, the popes and bishops. And through the Holy Spirit, He guides His church to deepen its understanding of those doctrines and to apply them to the developments and happenings of history. So that now we have a vast wealth, a treasury of Catholic doctrine that tells us today the counsel of God and the intentions of God. And as the first reading tells us today, and thus were the paths of those on earth made straight. Who can know God's counsel? Or who can conceive what the Lord intends? The church can and does. But not totally. And by that I mean that the doctrine of the church teaches all the fundamental truths that we need to live as God calls us to. But knowing how to apply that doctrine to everyday life, in large issues and small, isn't so easy. From the small choices, like what clothes will I wear today, or to the large life-changing and even world-changing choices. In those times, we rightly ask ourselves, who could conceive what the Lord intends? But then we remember that we do know what He fundamentally intends. And the Holy Spirit, who has guided His church to understand these doctrines, isn't exclusive to the popes and bishops. The same Holy Spirit is active in guiding the life of every Christian, especially those of us who have received the fullness of the gifts of the Spirit in the sacrament of confirmation. And on top of that, every human being, having been created in the image of God, has the gift of reason, the ability to think rationally, to figure things out. Isn't that what Jesus is talking about in today's gospel? But he says, which of you wishing to construct a tower does not first sit down and calculate the cost? You have to, God doesn't tell you build the tower. You have to figure it out. And so when we face the choices of life, big and small, as Catholics we take all that treasury of doctrine and compare that to the facts at hand and then use reason and the grace of the Holy Spirit to make the very best judgment we can, and we follow that. This process of obediently applying the doctrines of the Church through the use of grace and reason to the particular facts at hand is called following our conscience. Following our conscience is not simply doing whatever we feel like doing. It's applying doctrine through reason and grace to the facts at hand. And when we make a choice like this, it's called prudential judgment. Even so, there are lots of variables involved. First, do we know and understand what the Church's doctrine is on that applies to a particular issue? Then do we know all the facts and do we see them clearly about what's really going on here? And sometimes facts can be seen from different angles, different perspectives. And then sometimes our reason fails us or is clouded. Some of us are more rational or wiser, and some are more emotional than others, and all that can affect our reason. And then there's the Holy Spirit. Yes, maybe He dwells inside of us, but sometimes we listen to Him and sometimes we don't. Who can conceive what the Lord intends in this situation? We know a lot, but sometimes it's confusing. Because of that, in many cases, human reason can lead different people, even truly good Catholics, to reach different conclusions and choices in particular situations. Let me give you an example of this. Sometimes, something very controversial in our time. As you may know, our Holy Father, Pope Francis has voiced a very strong support for those who say that man is largely to blame for climate change, and that man can correct it by changing his way of life. Two of the Church's doctrines he sees applying to this are, first of all, that we should not abuse the gifts that God has given us, and second, we should love our neighbor, and so we shouldn't harm our neighbor by abusing the environment that our neighbor has a right to use too. Okay, so far so good, but that's just the beginning. Then comes the hard part, applying doctrines to facts with reason and grace and making a prudential judgment. All of us, including the Pope, bring different factors to this choice, and our minds process it differently. We approach it from different perspectives and biases. We have different information. We know different facts. Or we see certain facts as more important than others, or interpret them differently than others do. I mean, despite all the rhetoric, there are tens of thousands of scientists who do not agree with climate change, even though at least man's involvement in it, man's role in it. But there are tens of thousands of others who say definitely it's man's fault. So even when we do our best, we can be right or wrong. We can make a prudential judgment, and we could be right or wrong. Even the Pope can. Thus, there are important doctrines involved here. Our response to claims of climate change and mankind's blame for it is clearly a matter of judgment, prudential judgment left to each individual. And so when it comes to matters of prudential judgment, as Pope Benedict XVI once said, and I quote, there may be legitimate diversity of opinion, even if it means a Catholic were to be at odds with the Holy Father. Close quote. And he was talking about prudential judgment. Now let me make myself clear here. Now, some people try to argue that all choices and decisions are a matter of prudential judgment. That is not correct. Catholic doctrine unambiguously holds that some things are always wrong in themselves intrinsically evil, including things that are obvious like murder, abortion, contraception, homosexual acts. So for example, just like it would be always evil to kill someone simply because they were in the United States illegally, it would be always evil to do that. It's always evil to kill someone simply because they're in their mommy's womb when their mommy doesn't want them. No arguments to make, no prudential judgment involved, settled doctrine that applies clearly to the facts. Sometimes it's hard to accept this, that doctrine is not up to our own particular judgment. But if you seek to cling to your own opinions as if they are your most valuable possessions, rather than embrace the clear doctrine of Christ and His church that's given you as a true treasure, Jesus tells us today, any one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. Now, some of you may think that I disagree with the Pope on climate change. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. Actually, I hope I've been very careful not to interject my own prudential judgment into that part of my homily. Even so, sometimes a priest, whether he's a pope, a bishop, or a pastor, finds it necessary to share his prudential judgment with his flock, just as Pope Francis has done with climate change. The problem is, sometimes people make the mistake of sharing prudential judgment and then confusing it with teaching doctrine. And that's a very dangerous mistake because, first of all, you know, we cannot impose something on people that we have no right to impose. I can't impose my prudential judgment on you. I could share it with you and say, this is what I think as your pastor, if you want to listen to it. I think it's important I share it to you. The Pope can do the same thing. But he can't say, and you must agree with me. And neither can I. It'd be nice if I could, but I can't. But also it's dangerous in that if Catholics don't see the difference between doctrines and personal judgments, some Catholics may hear something really stupid that a foolish priest may say in a homily about his own judgment. And then they may say, well, that's foolish, and they reject it. But then they may also say, well, everything he says is foolish, and reject everything, even when he teaches doctrine. So when priests too often share their own personal opinion and pretend it's, you know, doctrine that we all have to believe, then we undermine the real doctrine of the church and people's understanding of what Jesus really wants from them. And it can cause people to just walk away and say, this is foolish, because that priest was foolish about climate change. He must be foolish about abortion. So, for example, when the Pope thinks he needs to intervene in climate change, he's going to use a very passionate language to communicate his zeal, or other things that he says. But the thing is, he's making a passionate plea based on his own personal prudential and pastoral best judgment. He's not giving a catechesis in doctrine. Now, as we move more deeply into the mystery of this Holy Mass, let us pray. Following the truth revealed by Christ in the doctrine that he's handed on to his Holy Church, and using right reason and the grace of the Holy Spirit, let us pray that each of us and our nation as a whole and our whole world may be a true instrument of God's will and what God intends us to be. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.